be afraid to turn the fan on tonight. So, although it is warm up here, I know that. I think y'all ought to come up here, and I could go sit down there. I always think when I in a meeting like this, I think about the design of Mount Carmel Church, and I think how wise some of the brethren there were to put the pulpit down below and the seats above. And it's important that the ministry understands that we are servants to the church and servants to the Lord first and then to the Lord's people, and that keeps where we should be is down at the feet of our brethren. Plus the heat, you know, the hot air rises, and I feel it in the stand tonight, and I'm sure y'all would like to feel some of that, which I would gladly give you. But I need your prayers. I do appreciate the sweet prayer that has been offered. Feel like the Lord has blessed that. Feel like He's already blessed the meeting. Very thankful for Happy Creek Church, what it has meant to me down through the years, what it means to me right now to have a place like this, to come out from an old troubled world that is unfriendly to the Lord's people, that is an untoward generation, that is walking in a course that's contrary to the teachings of the Bible for the most part, and for us to be able to have a place like this church that the Lord built, that He's given to us, to come and feed on the truths of God's Word, to have fellowship with the brethren, to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, to walk in the ordinances that He's given unto the church of baptism and communion, and to be able to have fellowship one with another as we have tonight in the Lord. And I'm just very, very, very thankful tonight for that blessing in my life. It has served to be a ground, and the church is the pillar and ground of the truth, and it has certainly been that for me. And we know that the church would be nothing without the head of the church, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the rock on which the church is built. And then as we stand as one of God's little children looking to the Lord, He gives us the things we need as we travel in an unfriendly world that is dark and cold. We can certainly relate to the cold part of that in a natural way tonight, but spiritually cold is a worse, as bad as it is to be naturally cold. There's nothing like being spiritually cold, where you can't feel the Lord, or spiritually in the dark, where you can't see the Lord. And what I have found the church to be for me is a blessing. As a blessing is a place where I come and get reminded again, and I get fed and stirred up and remember and get to hear the gospel, which is like a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And it just helps me to understand better even a world that is full of trouble. And so that we can rejoice in the Lord. As the scripture said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And I hope that's where we are tonight. And if it's not where we are, I hope it is where we will be. And I hope that if we're rejoicing now, that we'll keep on rejoicing. If we're not rejoicing, we'll start rejoicing. And that if we are rejoicing, we'll try to rejoice a little more and try to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth, which will make you rejoice in the Lord. Kind of feel torn between several passages of Scripture. Been praying the Lord would settle our mind on one of them, and feel as if He has. I do ask an interest in your prayers as I stand here tonight. If you have your Bibles and like to turn with me, I'd like to read in your hearing from the book of 1 Peter. I'd like to begin in chapter 2, and we'll read a portion of this, probably down through about midway through the chapter. 1 Peter chapter 2, writings of the Apostle Peter, here unto those strangers that were scattered abroad through Epaphras and Galatia and Cappadocia and Bithynia, those who were also identified as the elect. And they're strangers, and as we've mentioned many times, just like God's little children are strangers in this world. We are different than the world. We who were sometimes darkness are been made light in the Lord, and we have a responsibility to walk as the children of light. And as the Peter addressed these brethren at these different places, being the elect of God, tonight I address you, I believe, as the elect of God. What a blessing that is. And I believe the Lord has gathered together here at this place tonight some of His elect. And if you're His elect, you're not His elect by your choice, you're His elect by His choice. It wasn't anything that you did to get into the elect. There was nothing about you that made you worthy of being one of the elect. If He looked at any of us, or all of us together, He would have seen all of us in the state we were in by nature. And that is the children of wrath, even as others. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none good, no, not one. There's not one of us who would be worthy to be among those that are His elect. And the reason we were chosen is because God saw fit to choose His people out of the fallen family of man. He chose His people out of every nation and out of every kindred and out of every tongue and out of every people. The Lord chose His people. And in them, after He had made choice of them, He sent His only begotten Son into this world, and Jesus died for His people. And He paid the sin debt for them, washing them in His own shed blood and redeeming them, purchasing them. They are purchased people. And then in time, the Spirit of God comes in the work of regeneration, and they're made alive, brought from a state of death and sin to a state of life in Christ, and that by the power of God. And because of that, they're made strangers here in this world. They don't fit in this world. And God's little children need to understand who you are and what you are and why you are what you are, so that you might be able to live in a way to bring honor and glory to the Lord. And that's what the Apostle Peter is writing here. He's writing to these strangers, and he's telling them about what they need to be doing in order not to become the children of God, but because they are the children of God, what they should be actively doing. That lesson that was given to them, as we've mentioned before, is also given to us, that we might know how it is we ought to be walking and behaving in this world. And chapter 2 reads, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." Here the apostle tells us that there are some things we are to lay aside. And when you think about things that you have to lay aside, they are things that you are in possession of. They are things that you have. Sometimes we as God's children don't like to think about, we like to think about some of the things that we have, but there are a lot of things that make up Gary, that make up you, that make up us here at Happy Creek, that make up the Lord's people wherever they are, that make up the elect, even that were mentioned here in all of those places as Peter wrote to them. There are a lot of those things that make us uncomfortable to think about, sometimes make us uneasy to think about. Sometimes we like to think we don't have that problem. Sometimes we don't like to think we don't have that trouble. That really does, that might fit somebody else, but it doesn't really fit me. But if we look at the Bible and what the Bible says, it tells us about the works of the flesh which are manifest. And it names them, which are these. Over in the Galatian letter, it talks about the fleshly part of us and what it is that we have according to nature, who we are according to nature, what potential we have in us, what is that is about us that we need to be aware of, so that we know that potential is in us, so that we might be actively, aggressively, without just, you know, without not just kind of maybe trying a little bit, but with all that is within us, there are some things that you and I need to lay aside. There are some things that we need to put off. There are some things that we need to get rid of that we have as a part of us. And that is going to be true for us all the way and all the time that we live. We'll never get finished that task as long as we're in this world until the time comes that the Spirit leaves this old vile body and goes home to be with the Lord. You and I are going to be in a battle. And that battle is not happening out there, though there are battles out there, no doubt about that. But that warfare is going on within us. It's going on within me. It's going on within you. It's going on within us. And sometimes God's children fail to understand that battle and get overwhelmed, get overtaken by the enemy simply because we don't recognize that we don't recognize that I got a problem. It's not pleasant sometimes to have your problem pointed out to you. And all you have to do is start pointing that out to someone. And, you know, a lot of times it's easier for us to see all the problems that my brother has, all the problems that my sister has. I can name you all the problems in the family. I can name you all the problems on the job. I can point out all the things that I like to have fixed in this one or fixed in that one. And it's so easy sometimes for me to see all of that. And yet my old human nature, I have a real difficult times at time. And a matter of fact, according to nature, I simply won't do it. I, according to nature, will not recognize that I have a problem. Because my nature will lead me to say, no, I don't have a problem. You got a problem. And if you point out my problem, then you do have a problem. Because the problem isn't me, it's you. It's like Ahab. When he had the problem pointed out to him by Elijah the prophet, Ahab said, who is this Elijah who's troubling Israel? And Elijah said, no, it's not me, Ahab, that's troubling Israel. It's you. You are the problem. David had no trouble thinking, oh, what am I going to do to that man who's taken this man's little sheep and has taken his last little sheep? Oh, you just show me the man and I'll take care of him. And the prophet pointed to David and said, thou art the man, David, thou art the man. It took the Lord to awaken him as much as it takes the Lord to awaken us, that this problem is not my brother's, it's not my sister's, but it's mine. And here in this scripture, he's laying out very clearly and very plainly something that you and I need to be aware of, that we will be actively doing this, and it's plain about it. He says, wherefore, laying aside all malice. Now, I like to think of myself as being someone who's pretty much malice-free. But I'm not. I'm not sin-free. I have sin mixed in all that I do. I have an old nature that can turn and be envious in a moment. I have an anger issue. Be careful, Sharon. I have a tongue that's on an unruly member. I have the potential for all kinds of sin in my life. It's not pleasant for me to think about, but listen, if I don't battle those things, if I don't lay aside those things, if I don't actively pursue eschewing evil, resisting it, resisting the devil, and putting those things away, then those things will slowly, if I just stay neutral about it, those things will slowly creep into our life, and if we don't put them off, listen, you can't put on the new man until he has taught you, you have to put off the old man with his deeds and then put on the new man. You can't put the new man on top of the old man. There's some putting off. Now, if the Lord hadn't given you a new man, get this. I want you to get this because it's important. You don't have a new man to put on. All you got is the old man. And you can take the old man and you can fluff him up. You can clean him up. You can perfume him. You can, it's like an old hog. You can pull him out of the pig pen and you can clean him up. You can put perfume on him, put a big pink ribbon around his head, call him a pet, walk him around all the time. But as soon as he gets to a mud hole, that old boy is going right back to it because it's his nature to get in the mud. That's where he lives. That's his home. It's his nature to do that. And we as men can sometimes try to clean ourselves up and make ourselves look right. But I'm telling you, in me, that is in you, and in you, that is in us. All together in us, without the Lord, without His cleansing us, and without His washing, there is in me, that is in my flesh, no good thing. And even after I've been born of the Spirit, I pray to God, that's been the work of grace that's happened to me. I know something happened to me. Like the hymn writer said, He touched me. I know something. It's no longer the same. Sin troubles me. I can't just live in it, walk in it, taste of it. I can do those things, but I can't do it of it happily. It makes me sick. I get ill with it, and I have that problem I'm like the Apostle Paul. When I would do good, I find evil present with me, and I have to cry out, "Oh, wretched man that I am! Who shall save me from the body of this death?" The answer is there is a salvation, but it's not in me and it's not in you. It's in, I thank my Lord. Through Jesus Christ, we have a deliverance from not only the judgment of sin, which would be an eternal death, separated from God forever. Aren't you thankful that was paid for at Calvary? But I'll tell you, even the dominion or the power of sin in our life, we have the ability, by the grace of God, to lay aside things that we would have never laid aside according to nature. If we'd have tried to do it, we'd just been like the guy cleaning up the pig. When you got done, you just have a clean pig until he can get to the dirt again, and then he goes right back to it. I don't know whether that illustration hits the mark or not. I just know that we can't reform one another. The change that has to take place has to happen on the inside by the hand of Almighty God. But then once that has happened, we're to take that which He has worked on the inside and we're to put it on the outside. We're to put on that new man. And part of putting on that new man, that new woman, that new creature that you are, part of putting that on. Now, if He hadn't worked it, you don't have it. But if He's given it to you, you're to put that on. That is to be the way you think, the way you live, the way you act, the way you talk. You're to lose your life that you might find it. He that findeth his life shall lose it, but he that loseth his life shall find it. Now, if He hadn't given you a new life, you don't have anything but the old life until you're quickened. But once you've been made alive, if you've been risen with Christ, then you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And for us to live in that old man, in that old way, is to be walking in death. And it'll rob you of the joys and the peace and the rest that you'll have in this world. Now, what has that got to do with this? He said, wherefore laying aside all malice. All malice. Malice, a desire to cause pain or injury or distress to someone else. You think, well, no, I don't have any of that. I don't want to see anybody hurt. Then I look in my old nature and I'll see people do things and I think, boy, I'd love to lay them out. Politicians, I could name you a list of those I just say, I wouldn't care what happened to him. And whichever side of the aisle you fall on, the old nature that's in us, somebody does a little something to us, Well, he got it. Something happens to him. Well, he got it. He got what he deserved. The Bible didn't say you can lay aside just a little malice, or you can pick the ones you want to lay it aside. He said, notice this. You know why? This hinders our growth. There are some things we have to, and you say, well, who are we talking about? I'm talking about me. I'm talking about you. We are to lay aside any desire to cause any pain or injury or distress to anyone and to another. We are to lay aside how much of it? All of it. We are to lay aside all malice. Lay aside all malice. And all guile, trickery. Trickery. And I think sometimes, you know, we wouldn't ever use trickery, would you? You ever use trickery in your family? You know, we double talk. You know, we try to, I'll try this and they might do that. If I act this way, they're going to probably act that way. Sometimes we'll carry that over in the church. We certainly carry it on the job. And we become something we're really not. Listen, God's little children, we don't need to operate in malice. You know where we all have it. You know where it comes from? It comes from the old flesh. But we're to put off the old, that old man and with his deeds. And my goodness, the heat is up here. Fan is coming on. Sorry, maybe it'll get down there on you. Lay aside all malice. Whew, that feels good. And all guile. Trickery. Listen, if we're going to be anything tonight, let's be honest with one another. Not try to trick one another. I love you, dear brethren. I don't want to come up here and act like I'm something I'm not. I don't want to be before you trying to fool you or disguise. I want to tell the truth tonight. I want to preach the truth. I want to stand for the truth. I want it to be the truth. I want to preach the only power and the only source we have to get along in this world is the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to know He's a power source that is going to supply everything you and I will need. And if I get you to trust in me, you're going to trust in a power source that's going to let you down. If you trust in your family, you're in a power source that's going to let you down. If we trust in the church, just in those that have gathered here, you're going to be let down. But if you trust in the Lord and depend upon Him, you'll never be confounded. That means you'll never be perplexed or confused. You'll have a strength in Him that comes from Him. And I don't want to trust in anything. I don't want to use any trickery. He says, lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies. Hypocrisies. Is pretending to be what you're not or to believe what you don't. Pretense. Whew. Oh, y'all gonna say, I came here set in the cold to hear all this tonight about what I need to do. Listen, these are things that will hinder our spiritual growth. Old Baptist Church is not a place for us to have any. We need to know what we are. We are nothing but sinners saved by grace, if saved at all. There is no hope for you, no hope for me, but the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other access to heaven that we have other than the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no way I can pray or you can pray or anyone else can pray but through the intercession made by our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no way I will treat you right or you treat me right unless the Lord gives us the strength and the ability to do it. But if we look to Him and we lean upon Him, He'll give us the light we need, the wisdom we need, the love we need, the forgiveness we need. We, from Him, we sing it. From God all blessings flow, do they not? So every good thing I have in my life has come but to us by and through Him. And if we take anything up other than that, well, we're just dealing hypocritically. I think of those men that stood by with that woman caught in the very act of adultery. And they brought that woman who was caught in the very act. She was in the act when they caught her. The only thing is they didn't bring both of them. They brought one of them. So that shows where their mind was. It wasn't about justice. It was about pointing out somebody who was a sinner in their minds. And they said, "What would you do with her, Lord?" Trying not to get justice to be done. They wanted to trick the Lord. They wanted to bring him to a place where they could get him going against the law of Moses. Moses' law said stone her. It was clear what the law said. The only thing is, here was the one who was going to die on the tree of the cross that sinners might be forgiven. Was this woman a sinner? Absolutely she was. But the men that drug her there and brought her here before the Lord were as much, if not more, sinners. And they just thought and acted like they were not. How are you and I acting tonight? Are we better than anyone else? If I can be one of His, then who could not be? If I can be forgiven, who could not be? If He has forgiven me, what should I be able to do? Should I be able to forgive my brethren? Listen, that's the motivation that we have to have in our life, to forgive one another. As He has forgiven us, we're to forgive one another. And as we do that, we'll walk in the peace and a rest that you'll never get when you start putting on that cloak of hypocrisy. And see, that little cloak doesn't just fall on you all of a sudden. It gets on you a little bit at a time. Well, you know, I'm getting to church every Sunday now. I'm doing pretty good. I'm reading my Bible every day. I'm getting pretty good. I'm right there early on time singing the first hymns. I'm right there with it the whole time. And then I'm really doing this and I'm really doing that. And the next thing you know, we start saying, look at all those other folks and what they aren't doing. And I'll tell you, as soon as you get your eye on what all the other folks aren't doing, you stop looking at the inside where I got. In other words, the scripture says, take heed unto yourself. I'd use a big, you know, and then to the brethren. But notice number one is to yourself. Y'all said, I'm still in the cold and he's still throwing it at us. No. He said to put all this off. Lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies. Envies creeps in so quickly. Envy. See, somebody have something, I want it. You know, somebody gets this, I want it. Somebody has that, I want it. I hear a good preacher preach, I want to preach like he preached. You see, hear somebody sing, I like to sing like they sing. You see something happening over here, I want it. I would envy. Heck, where does that? It comes out of the old nature. It's our nature. We got to battle that. Listen, when I stop and you stop to with me tonight, as I stop and think, you think about how good the Lord's been to you. I mean, He's given. I'd like my eyes to work better, but I'm sure thankful they're working as good as they are. I'd like my knee not to pop and crack, but I'm sure thankful I got a knee at least. Some people don't have legs. I've got legs that I can walk with. Some people don't have hands or fingers or anything else. Some people never had eyes, never saw in this world. The Lord has been good to me. I think about all that He has given to me, all that He's blessed me with, and how dare I would ever be envious of what somebody else has been blessed to have. And I tell you, when you get there, you become happy in the Lord. And if you are not envious tonight, you are blessed. If you're content with the state that you're in, if you're content where you are, you have contentment, and you're trusting in the Lord, godliness, you are leaning upon Him, and you have great gain. More than the man that has everything of the natural riches of this world. If a man gain the whole world and lose his own soul, what does it profit him? God's little children who have godliness contentment with godliness is great gain. I'm telling you. And you say, well, how in the world am I going to be content? The Bible says we've got to learn to be content. Paul said, I learned to be content in whatever state I was in. That's something you learn. And you do that by laying off these envies. And then all evil speakings. I was talking to my mom this morning on the phone. And we got on, you know how that works. You get on the phone and then somebody brings up this one and the next thing somebody brings up the next one. And I've been reading this text and I was just saying, well, I'm going to lay this aside today. I'm going to lay this aside. And we got on the subject. Next thing you know, evil speaking is popping, coming right out of my mouth, you know. Now, this doesn't mean we'll always get this completely done. But I'm saying you and I need to watch that old tongue. It's an unruly member. Watch those evil speakings. Sometimes we think, well, it's the truth. Why can't I say it if it's the truth? There are some things that just should, even though it is the truth, doesn't need to be said. Sometimes it's said in malice because it's not, is it there to help them them, or is it there to hurt them? Is it tearing down, or is it building up? Is it edifying? Now, the truth needs to be spoken, and sometimes from the pulpit when you're saying things, and it doesn't feel like, well, is that really necessary? Well, if it's for the edification of the body, yes, it's necessary. But if it's just to hurt someone, that's not necessary. You see, and you say, well, how do I know the difference? Well, when you feel that, when the Lord leads you to speak, that's when it's time to speak. And when the Lord leads you to keep quiet, that's when it's time to keep quiet. And what the Lord gives you to say, the only thing is, as you're speaking those things, you think about it. Am I pleasing the Lord when I say this? And if it's a no to that, then it ought not be said. And I'm just saying that to you because I'm really speaking to me. That wasn't you talking to my mama, it was me. Before I got through, I even told her, I said, look, I'm trying to stop that. And then before we got to the next part of the conversation, she said, we're on it again, aren't we? And I said, yeah, we are. And it's usually on the politics with us. You know, we're laying out somebody. And she's right in agreement with me. You know how that gets when you get somebody who really agrees with you. You just get deeper and deeper on them. You just keep hammering them home. As newborn babes, we've been made new creatures. Tonight, our life isn't just about where we have in this time world. One day we're going to be forever with the Lord in glory. Our life is but a vapor. It's here for a while and soon fadeth away. We get far too worried about what's going on sometimes, too concerned. He said, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall wear. For we are trusting in the Lord who feeds the sparrows. We're trusting in the Lord who clothes the lilies. And Solomon, in all his glory, the best dressed man that has ever been on the face of the earth, the richest man, blessed by God with those natural riches, was not arrayed like one of those flowers. God will take care of you. We can lean and trust and depend upon Him. He says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Now, the sincere milk of the Word is that wonderful message of salvation by grace, what the Lord has done for His people. That sincere milk of the Word talks about God choosing His people in covenant before the foundation of the world. The sincere milk of the Word talks about sending God the Father, sending His only begotten Son, Jesus, because of His great love wherewith He loved us. Jesus came to save us, that we as the children of God might be at home one day with the Lord in glory. And not one of them that He came to save will be lost. He didn't come to try to save them. He came and saved them. That's the milk of the Word. Listen, you and I need to feed. A lot of God's children are not being fed milk today. They're being fed something else, and it's not making them healthy. They're not growing. They're trying to work their way or labor their way and find peace by their own efforts and their own work. You and I will never find peace about heaven and immortal glory until we come to the foot of the cross and we look upon the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and realize if He died for me, that's how I'm going to get home to glory. And it's by His grace that I'm saved and His grace alone. And then you can just sit down in that message of grace and feed on it. And some people say, well, you'll put people to sleep with that message of grace. I haven't found that to be the case. I have found grace to be the only message that really wakes up the Lord's people. When you think about His love for you, that teaches you how you're to love others. When you think about His forgiveness for you, that teaches you how to forgive one another. When you think about what He's done for you, it makes you thankful for what you have and praise Him in your walk and in your talk and in your behavior. It makes you want to come to church and sing the best you can from your heart, whether it goes through the vocal cords or not. Some brethren sing without using their vocal cords. I know they do, Brother Charles. I hear them. You say, what do you mean hear Him? Well, they may not hear Him. I'd like to hear Him all the way, but I know His old vocal cords are singing. Not singing, the vocal cords are still, but the heart's singing. We're to make praise and songs, sing, come before His presence with singing. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. We're here tonight to praise Him, to honor Him, to glorify Him, to realize He's my strength, He's my help, and to remind one another of that, and to put off all this stuff that gets in our way. And when you see it rising up in you, recognize that's where that's coming from. That's not coming out of the spirit. That's coming out of the flesh. And I got to put that off. This isn't something you just hear on Sunday night and forget Monday. It's really when you need it on Monday. You need it really about Wednesday. When you get hit with that, you know, I get that parent that calls me up and tells me all the things I haven't ever done right for this little student that I'm trying to do everything I can for, and, you know, think I'm doing well. See, hear that hypocrisy bumping in there again? Here I am. I've really done so much. I deserve a whole lot better than what she's giving me. I'll tell you what I deserve. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I would deserve the wrath of God, which is an eternity of punishment in hell. And if I have anything other than that, I've got a lot to be thankful for. And when you recognize what you are by nature and what you are by the grace of God, it's hard to let anyone upset you. And if I find myself getting upset a lot, which I do from time to time, well, I've gotten off track. And I need to get back on track. And remember, I'm a babe. I'm a newborn. As a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word. Now, it didn't say stay a babe, but it says that's how hungry we ought to be. You ever seen a little baby that's healthy? It wants, man, it'll get to the milk. I mean, it's going to get to the milk. And if not, it's going to cry. Don't care whether mama's tired. Don't care how she's feeling. Don't care how much sleep she got. I'm hungry. I need something to eat. And I'm going to cry till I get fed. Brethren, is that the way we're coming to the house of God? Is that how hungry we are? Is that how our senses have been to that point? Lord, I need Thy truth. I need, please, Lord, bless our preacher to preach. Bless him to study. And then bless him to deliver those messages from Thee that we might be fed. And as a newborn babe, I might grow. And I might be better prepared to live in this world because I'm going to face some trouble. And I need to know how to face it. I need to know how to live in a way to honor Him, because that's what my life really is all about. I'm just here for a little while, and while I'm here, and we don't know how long that's going to be. I've known some real good people that died really, really young. I've known some folks that I thought were honorary all the way to the core, and they lived a long, long time. And really what we are by nature is all of us are right there, aren't we? Listen, it's in the hands of the Lord. And the beauty of that is whatever time it is in the light of eternity, it's just a puff of smoke. It's just here for a little while. And today is the day the Lord has made. And we have the opportunity to love one another and to praise Him and to honor Him and to be thankful for Him and enjoy the blessings that He's given us right now at this moment rather than sitting there waiting for something that may or may not ever happen or come, either good or bad. He says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now, that means that the Lord has shown Himself to you. You say, I can preach Him tonight, but unless God's shown Himself to you, you won't understand a thing I've got to say. But if the Lord has shown Himself to you and you realize and you've tasted that, have you tasted tonight that He's gracious? Has the Lord, can you sing with the hymn writer, the Lord has been so good to me, I want to praise His name? I think you'd all sing that if we sang that hymn. You lift up your voices and give Him praise because you realize He's been so good. He hadn't done anything but good things for me. That's my Lord. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, we serve a living Savior. Isn't that good? We don't have a tomb where we go to see our Savior. Our Savior is a resurrected Savior. There's an empty tomb. He has come forth victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And He is seated on the right hand of the Father. We come to a living stone. And listen, He's a stone. He's a solid foundation for God's little children. We can build our life upon Him. We can build our beliefs upon Him. We can embrace and living and abiding in Him, it will make us steady and on certain ground. In other words, it's a real rock you can build your house upon. When we build our house in this world, we'll have it built upon the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the one who does that is as a wise man who digs deep and builds his house upon a rock. And if we don't build our house upon that, we're just building on the shifting sand of this world. And when the storms come, and they're coming, if our house is built upon a rock, it'll stand. But if it's not, it's going to fall. And the bigger the house we build on that sand, the bigger the fall we're going to have. Old Nebuchadnezzar thought he was all that, didn't he? He thought he was something. I might get all three things I was thinking about in tonight. Nebuchadnezzar just thought he was everything. Boy, he thought, look what my hands have done. And he didn't realize for a moment he was just a servant of the Lord being used at that time in order to bring the chastisement upon the children, the Jews, because they had rejected and disobeyed the Lord. And the Lord raised up Nebuchadnezzar so that, and then the judgment came upon him. And when he got so high-minded thinking he was everything, the next thing you know, he was like a wild beast out in the field. The Lord took from him everything he gave him, in order that he might see what he is. Listen, he who exalts himself, the Bible says what will happen. He that exalts himself shall be abased. But he that humbles himself, where should we be tonight? Exalting ourselves? I hope not. Humbling ourselves. Because he that humbles himself shall be exalted. And notice it didn't say he that is exalted shall be humbled. It says he that exalts himself shall be abased. It's a whole lot different than being humbled. He that humbles himself shall be exalted. That's why when we come tonight, we ought to come, like the Apostle Paul said, I feel to be the chief of sinners. And if you're in that place, I talked to Brother John this morning, and Brother John Nicholson, I asked him how he was doing. Brother John said, I'm poor, weak, and worthless. I said, well, it sounds like you're in a pretty good place to be going to church. When you somebody said, well, what is that talking about? You know, but that's old Baptist language. That's a language that we ought to have, and I hope we understand that. And I hope we don't just say it and don't really believe it. I hope we understand that without the Lord, I'm poor. Without the Lord, I'm weak. And without the Lord, I'm worthless. With the Lord, I've got all the riches I'll ever need. With the Lord, I have all the strength that I'll ever need. But without Him, I'm a poor, weak, and I'm worthless. In Him, in and through and by Him, I can do whatever He would have me to do, and do it in a way to honor and glorify Him. Without Him, I can't do anything at all. He says, we come to whom coming? We come as unto a living stone. He said, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God. In other words, men disallow Him. They deny His power. They deny the truth that He was who He was. They say He was not really who He said He was. Listen, our Lord not only said He was the Son of God, He proved He was the Son of God. And today we talk with Him and speak with Him because He has conquered death, hell, and the grave, and He is alive and well, sitting on the right hand of the Father. I believe He's one with us here tonight. I believe He's sitting in our midst. I hope He is. Because if He isn't, we're just going through a show. He said, where two or three are gathered together in My name, I hope that's how we met tonight. He said, I'm what? I'm one in their midst. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man will come and open that door. That's not talking about your heart's door. It's talking about the church. It was a church at Laodicea that was in the dark because they had gotten rich and increased with goods and thought they didn't really need Him anymore. They were all lifted up. They hadn't laid aside some things, had they? And He said, you think you're rich and increased with goods and in need of nothing. When I say to you, you're poor, miserable, blind, and naked. And if any man, behold, I stand at the door knocking. If any man will come and open to me, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. Do you want to sup with Jesus? Do you want to have fellowship with Him tonight? Well, we better ask Him to come. And listen, it's important for us to ask others to come to our meetings. I'm so thankful that we're able to do that. We're not a closed society. It's important to invite others to come and visit. But the most important guest we ought to be inviting to come to every meeting that we meet is, Lord, please be with us when we meet. If the Lord isn't with you, your preacher won't preach. If the Lord isn't with us, we'll just have one big fuss. But with Him, we'll be able to be what we're supposed to be, to honor Him and praise Him and give Him glory, which He's called us to do. Listen, we're involved in a heavenly activity tonight. Hope you like praising Him down here, because if you go home and you belong to Him, you're going to praise Him over there. you're going to really be praising Him. Somebody said, that church business is boring. I hope you don't get bored by it, because in heaven, that's what's going to happen. I don't get bored. I get excited. One little fellow was at church today, and I went overtime like I'm kind of doing now, and he came up, and he's just a little fellow. He said, "I'll tell you what, I feel like I've been in church for centuries." He said, "Like ages and ages." His daddy had told him we were going to stop about 12. And about 10 after 12, I was still going. He said, "I thought it was going to last a century." His daddy said he just got garred away. He just got garred away. So evidently, I don't know what that means. I guess I do that too much. I get excited about this. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. This is what this is. A spiritual house. He's made us alive. You know, men don't make stones. We make a lot of things. Sometimes we make them out of stone, but we don't make stones. Rocks are not, they're not man-made. They're made by God. And men don't make children of God. If you're a lively stone tonight, and this is not just any old stone, a lively stone, you've been made and fashioned like unto Him. He has a work of grace in you that is Christ in you. It's Christ in you. The hope of glory. That fruit of the Spirit is the result of the Spirit being in you. And that is a work of Almighty God, the fruit of the Spirit. You've been made a lively stone. And why have you been made a lively stone? Because you're built up a spiritual house. There's a place of worship. And holy priesthood. There are sacrifices that are being offered to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And those sacrifices are acceptable to God. And how is that possible? Only through and by Jesus Christ. And we are to be giving Him the praise in our life by putting off those things that continue to get in our way. And again, you'll never get them all done until you leave. The day we get it finished is the day we leave this world. And that'll be the work of Almighty God when He changes this old vile body. Until that time, we still have that battle to battle every day. But oh, what a battle it is. When you have a mind to pray, remember me. And I appreciate your kind attention tonight. God bless you. I love you, my brother. I would just praise His name. That's my desire.